Thank you, Dave Schwann. Hi, everybody. The bonus hour continues. It's a bonus 90 minutes today. You will not have to pay for that extra 30 minutes. It's on us, gratis. Rich Lankoff joins us right now. Rich is an attorney at law, a partner over at Bryce Downey & Lankoff, LLC. He's here to talk about what we all saw today with the Mueller report. Hello, Rich. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Where are you today? I know you were originally, we were hoping to get you in studio, but you're out of town, right?
I'm in Arizona on spring break. Was in the Grand Canyon a couple days ago, but nothing brings me away from my legal duties to the Bill and Wendy Show.
Oh, nice. We appreciate that. We heard this morning Attorney General Barr was kind of setting us up for the release of the how many pages that was going to happen, the Mueller report. Now I'm getting a bunch of alerts on my phone, and I don't know what to believe. And what do you have? What is the latest on this?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to unpack, obviously. The report is out, obviously, two volumes. We're all making our way through it. There's reports that the Trump attorneys had the report a couple days before it was released. I mean, there's obviously a ton of new information coming out. You know, what we're trying to unpack and what will be the subject of, you know, endless amount of not just legal but political debate is going to be whether these 10 instances of potential obstruction rise to the level of impeachment. I mean, the decision's been made, as we know, that the attorney general is not going to prosecute Trump or any of his any members of his administration, campaign team, etc.
Can I jump in here, Rich? Attorney General Barr kind of almost sounded like he was an attorney for Donald Trump as he was speaking earlier this morning, talking about the president being, you know, upset and irritated that this was happening. He didn't sound like somebody who works for us, the citizens of the United States. He sounded like Donald Trump's attorney.
I agree, and he's getting, you know, obviously a ton of backlash from not just Democrats, but some Republicans as well. Obviously, all the Democratic presidential contenders are saying what you're saying. I agree. I looked at the press conference, as we all did, and I feel like that wasn't a great day for the Department of Justice. I think that he should have been far more objective, and he also should have, you know, had a press conference after the release, not just before. I mean, you know, we want to hear from him why he interpreted these 10 acts as not rising to the level of obstruction. There's a real difference between Mueller and Barr, I think. You know, Mueller, now we know that he opined legally that he could not convict nor clear Trump of obstruction. That's a very, very important distinction between Mueller and Barr. You know, he turned it over to Barr. Barr decided that these 10 acts don't rise to the level of obstruction. I don't agree. I mean, the key to this case, as is the key to any white collar case, is intent, right? At the end of the day, this boils down to what the president intended when he committed these 10 acts. You know, certainly, you can look at these acts as in and of themselves showing the requisite intent, the requisite mens rea of obstruction. For example, when he said, oh, I fired Comey because, you know, he was investigating this issue, doesn't that show the requisite intent? When he asked the attorney general to fire Mueller because Trump thought there was a conflict of interest, and we now know as a result of a New York Times article that his personal lawyer, Trump's personal lawyer, resigned over this issue, isn't ordering the special counsel fired, isn't that the requisite intent? So there's a legal question there. Obviously, Barr, you know, is being criticized as a political appointee, to your point, Wendy, as a mouthpiece for Trump. He decided not to prosecute. The big question now going forward is, does this rise constitutionally to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors for which Trump could be impeached?
Rich, most of this has unfolded in the last few hours while we've been doing the show. So all I know is what I'm seeing on the televisions here in the studio and what I'm hearing in the news reports every half hour here on WGN. But it seems like Donald Trump is doing something of a victory lap. Is it too early for him to be doing a victory lap?
You know, a second after it was released would not be too early for the president, as you know. He, of course, is doing a major victory lap, as are all of his, you know, Giuliani's come out, Pence has come out. We will obviously see a victory lap. His position is that what it's been throughout the course of this latest news, you know, we knew from Barr's letter recently that there was not enough evidence of obstruction per Mueller. But the flip side is also true. Mueller wrote in his report that there wasn't enough evidence to impeach, or there wasn't enough evidence to convict on obstruction, but he also said that there was evidence of obstruction. There was, you know, sufficient, these 10 instances, there was enough question about obstruction. Mueller didn't decide yes or no. Part of that was political, I think. But there's certainly enough to rise to the level of questions about whether the president had the requisite intent when he did all of these different activities.
Rich Lankoff on the line with us, attorney and partner at Bryce Downey and Lankoff. You can listen to him on the podcast Legal Face Off. I guess my big question is, what does this mean? What happens next?
So again, the Dems are going to, you know, jump all over this as they have, and they control the House. They will likely call Mueller in. They'll subpoena him to testify. Barr said this morning he would not object to Mueller testifying. I don't know that he would have the legal standing to do that anyway, but Barr already said he has no problem with Mueller testifying. I think you'll see a Democrat-led hearing on this issue. And again, under the purview of whether this rises to the level of impeachment, that's a political question. I think legally this issue is probably over, because Barr had the ultimate authority to decide what to do with the evidence that Mueller presented. And he's decided that it doesn't, there was no collusion, and whether there was any obstruction, he's decided there wasn't. So I think legally we've seen the end of it. Of course, remember, there are also other federal investigations going on in New York, Virginia, into some of these activities. So those offices will still pursue their investigations. Many have felt throughout that those really represent more legal jeopardy to Trump than this did. But as far as this issue is, I think legally it's done. Politically, the question is whether there's grounds for impeachment and whether the Democrats have the requisite, you know, authority and will to pursue that. We've heard from Nancy Pelosi that she's not going to pursue impeachment. Did that change today? Who knows? There's certainly enough in there to pursue it. Whether they will or not is a political question.
What are you seeing there today that would make Nancy Pelosi switch over and think there was grounds for impeachment?
Oh, there's a ton. I mean, you know, these 10 different, and I recognize, you know, you guys haven't had a chance to look at it in detail, of course, but there's 10 specific examples that Mueller references that he investigated into, you know, as possible examples of obstruction.
Yeah.
Each of those 10 in and of themselves could rise to the level of a high crime and misdemeanor. Again, the question is whether, you know, whether constitutionally this will be perceived as a high crime and misdemeanor. Legally, again, I think the issue is closed. Even though you can disagree with how Barr interpreted these 10 acts, I think there's a lot of room legally to disagree as to whether Trump had the requisite intent to commit obstruction. The fact is, Barr is the person who decides that, and he's decided that he's not going to pursue that. You could criticize that as being political. I certainly think it is. But legally, I think that issue is done. The next question is whether those 10 acts will give the Democrats legal standing to pursue impeachment. Again, impeachment, as we know, as we've talked about on your show, is a political question. There's enough there to at least pursue it. Whether Nancy Pelosi feels that, you know, it's a new day today is a political question.
Rich, there was a time today that William Barr was explaining that the redactions within the report fall under four major categories. He then explained what the four categories are. I've not seen the full report yet. You've been looking at it a little bit. Exactly how much is redacted as you're pouring through this? How much of it are you unable to read?
Yeah, there's a significant portion. You know, we don't know exactly, obviously, what's in there because it's redacted. I think the important part, and, you know, to the president's credit, he did not claim executive privilege over any parts of the report. So he could have, and that would have been a legal battle.
Explain that for a second. That's the option the president has to read through the report and find parts of it that he's not happy with being released and that he has the right to redact, correct?
Yeah, you know, he could have claimed that some of this was subject to national security issues or presidential privilege. You know, frankly, as we've seen in prior claims of presidential privilege, most specifically the Nixon situation, that didn't hold much water. So I think, you know, Trump realized that he didn't want to go down that route. So while there was, I think, some basis to allege that, I think Trump knew politically that wouldn't have held much water, both politically and legally. And also, you know, he feels that there, as he said, that there's no evidence of him doing anything wrong. So why confuse the issue by claiming privilege?
Let's also talk about the fact that it was said by Mr. Barr that this was unprecedented that a president enters into office under such scrutiny, under investigation. But how do you politely say, well, too bad? You know, because there's got to be a moment where you go, well, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. We're looking into whether or not you're guilty of major, major crimes against the United States. So if you don't like us investigating it, too bad. Isn't there a way to politely say that?
Yeah, for sure. Again, I think a lot of that is resulting from, you know, Barr being, it seems like, not very objective, being conscious of who his boss is. That question that you just raised came up in the press conference, and Barr, you know, took offense to it and asked the reporter, well, is there any precedent for it? The reporter said no, and he said, well, that's what unprecedented means.
But he's arguing the wrong point there, Rich. I get the unprecedented part. He's 100% correct. No other president has entered the office under such scrutiny, but
right.
With good reason.
Yeah, because no one's done that, exactly.
Right.
I mean, you can't hide behind the unprecedented and also do something wrong for the first time. I agree with you. It's sort of ridiculous. You know, the other thing is, remember, you know, there is law, you know, fairly longstanding Justice Department protocol saying that a sitting president can be indicted for activities he did while in office, and a large portion of the alleged obstructive behavior did happen while he was in office. So the point of that is, you know, there's a political and there's a sort of, you know, reality theme that goes through the report and through, I think, what Mueller decided to do, which is, and he references this. He says, you know, in reality, it would have been very difficult. It would have been onerous. I think he's conscious of the idea that it wasn't a slam dunk. I mean, the obstruction was not a slam dunk by any stretch. Again, as I mentioned earlier, it comes down to whether you can prove that Trump had the requisite intent, mens rea, as we call it legally, to, you know, prove obstruction. And because, very significantly, because he never interviewed Trump, how would you prove intent with not having sat down with the person who held the intent? I still think you could have proven intent by the very actions, right? I mean, the very actions of firing certain people, of ordering that people be fired, of disseminating these hacked emails. If that doesn't show intent, I don't know what is.
Right.
I mean, that's ultimately the question that a jury would look at. So I think there was enough there. But the fact that Mueller never sat down with Trump, and then for Mueller to say, well, we can't prove intent, is sort of counterintuitive. How would you prove intent without talking to one person whose intent matters?
Sure. Why wasn't he questioned by Mueller? Whose decision was that for him not to be brought in on that?
Well, good question. I mean, that was the subject of months of negotiations. We heard on countless occasions from Trump's legal team, including Rudy Giuliani, that this was a perjury trap, right? And, you know, the next question is, well, why are you worried about perjury if you have nothing to lie about?
Right.
But they kept saying, well, we're not going to produce him. You know, in their defense, from their perspective, if Trump was the subject of a criminal investigation, you know, why would he speak to the prosecutors? That's unusual if you look at it just from a criminal context. In other words, if it's just a regular criminal prosecution, generally the accused would not sit down for an interview with the prosecutor. Of course, this is a different situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this is the president of the United States, if that person has nothing to hide, then, of course, sit down with Mueller, explain what happened, explain your intent. All Trump had to do, I think, was say to Mueller, yes, I did those actions, but I did not intend to break the law, mm-hmm. or I was ignorant of the law. I mean, either one of those would have given, you know, Trump good standing to say, I've done nothing wrong
right.
in an interview. But the fact that he did not subject himself to an interview, I think, raises questions that the Democrats will pounce on.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what to expect. I just feel like this was a waste of time and money, this whole thing. I really do.
Was it, Rich? Was it a waste of time and money?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, the 10 acts, many of which we knew about, by the way, I mean, none of which are much of a surprise, but the fact that Mueller delineated them and at least said, remember, he at least said that he could not exonerate Trump. Trump looks at that as saying, well, I'm innocent. And Mueller and Barr have found me innocent of obstruction. Those are two separate things. The fact that the special counsel said, you know, we don't have enough evidence or we don't have, you know, the desire to prosecute is not the same as exonerating Trump. These 10 specific acts of obstruction, I don't think exonerate Trump. I think the opposite. I think they show, you know, a pattern of behavior that was meant to impede this investigation and certainly rise to the level of obstruction. You know, the bad news for some is that I'm not the attorney general and I don't get to make that decision. But you know, whether that rises to the level of an impeachable offense is a separate question.
So, Rich, if we can believe this report, what we're getting is that Russia had the idea of tampering with the election. They came to Trump's people with that idea, and Trump's people said, yeah, no, thank you. Is that basically it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no question that Russia attempted to collude or to interfere with the election.
Yeah.
And there's no question that they approached Trump's campaign to do so. What Mueller says is that there's not enough evidence to show that Trump or his team
took the bait, colluded
with them. Even though we know that there are meetings, even though we know this whole, you know, sham about the Russian attorney who we were first told was there for an adoption and then, you know, we realized was actually there to interfere. I mean, I think it strains credibility to, you know, assume that was all just a coincidence.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you believe, you know, the report says that yes, Russia interfered, but no, Trump wasn't involved in that.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And again, the most important question I think is, I think the collusion, I think that's settled. I don't think that's, you know, a good avenue to pursue.
Yeah.
But obstruction, that's really a separate issue. And I think, you know, my interpretation of the Mueller report, I think many in the legal community will look at, yeah, this is, you know, there's certainly enough to pursue obstruction. And I think to possibly convict Trump on obstruction, the fact that Mueller and Barr punted on that was more of a political issue than a legal conclusion.
So there's not much closure that came out of today. This is ongoing. Nothing has been stopped because of what happened today, correct?
Yeah, I think it only opens, you know, a can of worms. I think obviously it depends on what side of the aisle you are. Republicans are claiming victory. Trump is claiming victory. Trump will say that this exonerates him and the issue is closed. I think, and again, we're unpacking everything in there, but I think there's plenty of detail for the opponents of Trump and those who feel like he did commit a crime to pursue that line.
Why don't we have somebody coming out saying, you know, he is not being charged, but he is not exonerated? You know, you're saying that, and I've read it, but the majority of the people are like, oh, nothing's going on. He's been cleared.
Yeah, I think it's digestible for the average person, not to say that the average person isn't intelligent or anything, but I think it's more digestible for the average person to look at the report and say there's nothing there. You know, at the end of the day, the bottom line is the Attorney General of the United States decided not to prosecute. That's it. Case closed. You know, I think if you dig a little deeper and look at these 10 examples, again, as I've said, I think that rises to the level of obstruction. I think Trump's intent was clear. Trump is not some, you know, novice, even though he tries to portray himself as new to politics. You know, he's very calculated. And I think when he did all of these different activities that are outlined in the report, I think it's hard to just gloss over those and say, well, he didn't have the intent. I think the intent is evident in the action. You know, the fact that he did not actually fire Mueller, I don't think matters. I think the key question is whether he intended to fire him. That's obstruction. That's the definition of obstruction. You don't actually have to carry through with the crime. If you decide to do it and you take some action in furtherance of it, which he did, at least on that one example, mm-hmm. that's obstruction. And there's 10 examples of that. So, you know, I think there's plenty there. Again, the reason why we're not talking about indictments today is because this is a Republican attorney general who I think, you know, is loyal to Trump.
Yeah. Rich, is this what you were hoping to do on your vacation?
You know, I pegged this day. I told my kids, let's get the Grand Canyon behind us because this is going to be Mueller Day. So, you know, I have them in the room. They're poring over it.
Yep.
They're highlighting the key terms. My nine-year-old is trying to figure out the nuances of obstruction. So we're all good.
Excellent. That's what I was hoping you'd say.
Rich Lankoff, he's attorney at law and partner at Bryce Downey & Lankoff. He is our show attorney, and you can find him on Legal Face-Off, part of that podcast that you can find at WGN+. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care, Rich. Thanks. Rich Lankoff.
So nothing was gleaned. I mean, nothing has happened. Nothing is going to happen. I feel like this is just a waste of time on both sides.
I don't know that it's a waste of time. And I didn't expect the closure. A lot of people going, finally, once this report comes out, there will be some closure. I never saw it that way.
I just wanted it to corroborate what was given to us in the four-page thing. Because then you're like, all right, maybe there was nothing.
Right.
And then you can move on. But there's still, he's not necessarily guilty, but he's not necessarily innocent.
Right.
That's leaving too much wiggle room
but
again.
But from the very beginning, the words were, this does not exonerate him, but then his spin on it, the president's spin was, this exonerates me. Even though the words were written out, this does not exonerate him.
Well, if you look up the word exonerate, you're going to see Donald Trump's picture, and right underneath is Jussie Smollett.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've both been exonerated.
We may get a clue as to what the Democrats are planning to do. House Judiciary Committee Chair Gerald Nadler is about to have a press conference.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, all right.
So we're going to find
we'll
out
listen
probably
for that.
Soon what their, if
what their
they're
next plan of attack is.
Yeah.
Good. Very good. Thanks, Kim. All right. That's ahead. Kim's news is ahead, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy, here on the stream.